Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Modern praise and worship songs, this one by Bill and Gloria Gaither, has long been my favorite. I remember learning it as a child. It came out in 1970. Hard to believe, 51 years ago this song came out. This came out in 1970, and I learned it as a kid at church. I learned it from my mother, who used to sing it as she drove her car, and I would sit in the back, and she would sing it, and I would sing it with her. I learned it. It filled me with the knowledge of the presence of Jesus. You could hear, when I sing it, I can almost hear rain falling outside. And the smell of the grass and the trees and the flowers after the rain is fresh and alive. It brings so many mental and other sensory images to life in me. Indeed, it was so popular when it came out that it grew in popularity amongst Methodists that it made it into the United Methodist Hymnal in 1989. It's a simple tune with beautiful words and vivid imagery, and has long provided me and thousands like me comfort and hope in difficult times. I can remember going from room to room in the hospital there at Duke University Medical Center when I was a student in seminary. I did a unit of CPE, Clinical Pastoral Education, in which I had duties as a chaplain in training. And I would go from room to room to room. And as I would go from room to room, I would look at the chart to see what the condition was of the next person. And it was always horrible because I happened to be on the neurology floor. So it was stroke victims and people who had had various kinds of other kinds of brain bleeds, or people who were struggling with horrible neurological conditions. And it began to weigh heavily on me. So I found myself pausing between rooms, and this song going through my head. I would even hum it out loud as I would go slowly from room to room. There's something about that name. These words remind me that I'm not alone. That no matter where I am, no matter where I go, no matter what difficulty I experience or face, no matter how alone I may feel in any given moment, God is already there ahead of me. Jesus is going with me step by step. The Holy Spirit has prepared the way for me and has prepared me as well to face whatever it is that I'm walking into. That was my experience in the hospital, walking from room to room, from patient to patient, from condition to condition, from tragedy to tragedy, from pain to pain, from hope to hope. Every step I took, I knew I took with Jesus. Every step I took, I knew I took with Jesus. And when I walked into a room, I knew that part of the reason that I was there was to bring a reminder of the presence of Christ into that room, into that situation, into that pain, into that fear, into that condition, to bring a reminder of the real presence of Jesus Christ, our Lord, there, through prayer and through word, through reading of Scripture, through time of simply sitting and listening. Oftentimes it was listening. Sometimes it was listening to the silence of the person in the bed and commiserating with their fear and reminding them through a simple, non-anxious presence that they were not alone. Indeed, this concept, this idea of the real presence of Jesus with me stuck with me throughout my ministry, sticks with me today. It's part and parcel of why we celebrate Holy Communion, to be reminded of the real presence of Jesus in our lives, to be reminded that God is not far from us, that God is right here, and that no matter where we may be, no matter where we may be going, we don't go alone. We go with God. Christ walks with us. The Holy Spirit prepares the way and prepares us too. The God of all creation, the God who created each and every one of you, the God who created this planet, the God who created this solar system, all the planets, the God who created the stars up in the sky. When you go out at night and you look up and you see more stars than you can possibly count, the God who made all of that cares about you and does not leave you, nor does this God forsake you, but in Jesus Christ has come to remain and abide with you forever. Paul's words to the Corinthians speak of this remaining, abiding presence and this powerful, life-changing presence that Jesus brings to us. We know, he wrote, we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. This idea of the presence of Christ, and that we are raised to be in his presence, is a central part of the Christian faith, a central part of my own faith. Now, Paul was going through a difficult time with the church in Corinth. Paul had lots of struggles with that church. He wrote 2 Corinthians to a congregation which had a great degree of conflict within it. We find out a lot about that conflict over in the disagreements and the complaints that they all had over in 1 Corinthians and in the second part of 2 Corinthians. The Corinthian congregations were troubling for Paul. They were a spiritually rich congregation, blessed with talent and resources, blessed with time to explore the faith, blessed by his own presence and ministry among them. For about a year and a half, he lived with them full time. He focused his ministry on them, teaching them, preaching to them, leading them in the faith, leading them to believe in Jesus Christ, leading them into the Christian faith and to accepting Christ as Savior, leading them. He was with them day after day after day. The longest tenure in his entire ministry in one place was in the churches of Corinth, helping them to come into a relationship with Christ Jesus. And yet, they had disagreements, divisions, factions, splits. They argued amongst themselves. They complained to Paul about each other, and they complained to each other about Paul. Sometimes we try to idolize the New Testament church, but in truth, they could be just as a mess as us. The modern church, with our fights and disagreements and splits, we don't really have anything on the first century Corinthian church. And their whining and complaining, and their backbiting and their spiritual one-upmanship, their self-superior and self-righteous attitudes, they just bleed out of the letter to the Corinthians, the first letter to the Corinthians, as Paul repeats to them what they have said to him repeatedly. And we find out in 2 Corinthians that they were accusing him of so many horrible things, of not being a trustworthy apostle, of not being someone that you could follow without having to watch your back, of being someone who would say one thing to one group and another thing to another group. Paul had a struggle with this church. And yet Paul said, in beautiful words, we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Even with people with whom he disagreed, even with people with whom he struggled, even with people who called him names, who challenged his authority as an apostle, Paul knew that God's grace and the resurrection power of Jesus Christ would be in them and him and would raise them all into the presence of Christ. Think about that. The one who fashioned all that is, who spoke and nothing became everything, who formed humans from the dust of creation, who set the universe into motion, is the one who raised Jesus from the dead and who will raise us as well. From the death of our sin, from the death of our broken spirits, from the death of our self-centeredness, to life in Christ, to a life of grace and peace, to a life of faith, to life in the very presence of Christ. That's amazing. That's comforting. That's an incredible word of hope. Because despite our differences, and this is true for all Christians everywhere, despite our differences, we all come together and we are all raised by the grace of God to be in the presence of Christ. Even though we're imperfect, even though we often fail to be and do the kind of people God calls us to be, even though we, like the Corinthians, need a lot of work, what Paul says for them can be said for us as well, that we will be brought back from the brink of death, from the grave of our souls, to life with Christ, to life with each other, to life with God. Since God is doing it, it certainly doesn't depend upon us. We can't do it, but God in us can. So we do not lose heart. Boy, it can be easy, my friends, to lose heart. When we struggle against sin in our lives, it's hard to not lose heart. When we struggle and when we conflict with people who have been friends and aren't now, it's hard to not lose heart. Paul writes, we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. It's not just a long-term thing. It's a day-by-day experience, not losing heart. It's a day-by-day experience to be reformed and refashioned by the grace of God, by the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, day by day. God has to remold us, remake us after his will. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction, I think it's amazing. He calls the struggle that he was going through with the Corinthian church, he's calling the struggle that we go through with our own sins, he's calling the struggle that we go through both as individuals and as a community when we struggle with each other and when we struggle with our own sins, he calls this a slight momentary affliction. Kind of puts it into perspective, doesn't it? This slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, But what cannot be seen is eternal. Even though we're ephemerals, even though we are finite, even though we have but a short time to live and then we die, even though our outer nature is wasting away, our spirits, our souls, our God-given identity as Christians, as children of God, is being renewed day by day. Well, Greg, I don't think I can get through the day. I don't think I can make it through the rest of this day. God is going to renew you day by day. Well, if I can get through the day, I don't think I can get through tomorrow. God will renew you day by day. What we face, including our own divisions and conflicts, are but a momentary affliction. What may be seen as insurmountable to us is but temporary to God. It is soon to pass away. It will give way to the eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. What we see around us and ourselves is temporary. What we cannot see, what God has for us, the life that God has for us, is eternal. Paul continues, "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Some of you are facing serious illness, sickness, physical disease, deterioration. Some of us are just getting old. Others have struggles with heart disease, cancers, tumors, other conditions. We are assured that because of Christ, these physical challenges are but temporary. They cannot prevail against the love of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Even if we die from them, and we all do eventually die, this physical body, this outward nature is wasting away. Even if we die from them, they do not have victory over us. I remember the last time I saw my dad alive. I was in the hospital at Presbyterian Hospital in Dallas, and I remember I needed to say goodbye to him, to go to a meeting at church. And so I went up to his bed and I leaned over and kissed him on the forehead and I said, "Dad, I love you." And he grabbed my arm and he said, "I love you too, Greg. But always remember God loves you so very much." And he smiled at me and patted my cheek and then I left the room. After the meeting, I got the phone call and I got in a car and I headed back to Presbyterian Hospital. By the time I got there and I walked into the room, Mom was standing there. Dad was dead. And I remember going up to, I didn't want to look at his body, but I went up to him and I looked down at him. And I'm glad I did, because I saw the expression that was on his face when he passed. And he had that same smile that he had when I said goodbye to him just a few hours before. He went out of this life and into the next with joy, knowing that he would be seeing and in the immediate presence of his Creator, his Savior, his Lord. He wasn't afraid. You could see that on his face. He wasn't afraid. He was at peace. Even though his physical body was deteriorating, he had an eternal body that God had prepared for him. And he was going to be with him and to live eternally. Day by day, my friends, hour by hour, minute by minute, second by second, the Holy Spirit, the life of God, is within you, molding you, fashioning you, remaking you, renewing you for life in the here and now. So that when that time comes, guess what? It's not a moment of fear, but a moment of grace and of joy and of peace. We face a future that is to us uncertain, but to God, who's already there, it's very certain indeed. Allow the grace of God. Allow the presence of Jesus. Allow the power of the Most High to so fill your life, to so renew your life, to so remold your living, that you will go from day to day knowing the presence of Jesus. And if you don't know if you can, you might be able to make it through the day. Okay, Greg, I think I can make it through the day. I'm not sure about tomorrow. Guess what? Just as Jesus has remolded your life today, He will mold your life tomorrow. As you come to the table of the Lord today and receive the sacrament, receive the real presence of Jesus into your life anew. Be touched by His grace. Allow Him to renew you inwardly for eternal living. Allow Him to mold you and shape you and fashion you by His grace and by His love to life today, tomorrow, and for eternity. And take the presence of Jesus with you wherever you may go, and share that presence, the presence that saves the world, with all. It has been my joy and privilege to be amongst you these years, to preach the word, to teach, to pray with you and for you, to be among you. If no other message is left here by me than this, if you remember nothing else, remember this: the presence of Jesus will never forsake you, will never leave you, and even in your hardest moments, will carry you. Simply say yes and accept that love that God has for you in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's people say, Amen.
In your presence.